Isaiah chapter 40, we'll work on our memory verse here before we get into the lesson. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. If you don't need your Bibles, great. If you do, it's Isaiah 40, 31. We'll sing it through twice, and we do add a little prayer there on the end of it. It goes like this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. One more time, please. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Amen. Isaiah 40, 31. We're just learning God's word here, cheering, praising His name. We're beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll move through the end of this chapter and into chapter 18 today. Last week we saw where the season of strength is short. We saw where Goliath and the Philistines were all relying on their ability and their strength to be able to overcome the obstacles before them. And we even saw where King Saul was trying to even depend on his strength and his ability, as well as his general Abner and the brothers of David that were there in the battle, the three eldest brothers. But we saw where David accepted the challenge of Goliath last week. We saw where he faced Goliath in the strength of the Lord, where he placed his trust in the Lord for the victory over Goliath. The Lord not only gave him the victory over the giant, but he was also able to lead and give the victory over the Philistines through David because of his faith. As we saw last week in this season of strength, how it is so short. If you're trusting in your own ability or strength to see you through a test or a circumstance, then you're going to fail. God might give you a small victory, but it's not the victory that He wants for you. He wants us to live the faith life. He wants us to place our trust and faith in Him. Seek our strength from Him. Place our trust in Him for the victories over the circumstances and the challenges and the obstacles that He puts before us. But many of us fail to do that daily. And it's a daily walk. The Bible tells us multiple times, at least three times in the Scripture, it tells us the just shall live by faith. Amen. So today we're going to look at some things that help us understand not only the faith life and the results of faith, but the unseen hand that guides us through that life. Because it's all through this story of David. It's all through the Scripture. It's all through our lives where we can see the unseen hand of God and how He directs us and provides for us and protects us. So let's pray this morning and ask God to meet with us. Dear Lord, we pray that You would just bless and help us this morning as we open Your Word, as we study this portion of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 18. And as You have helped me through the study of this week, dear Lord, I pray now that I would just put aside all of my ability. I would put aside all of my talent and allow You, dear Lord, to teach this lesson to us. I pray, dear Lord, that I would be nothing but just a voice for You, that You could help us today to truly see this faith life and see how You are always there, right beside us, sometimes ahead of us, and sometimes pushing us from behind. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us this morning to truly rely on You. As I rely on You this morning for this lesson, I pray that You would help me. In Christ's name, amen. David has been in the classroom of this king, the King of Kings. He has been in the classroom of the King of Kings since he was a small boy. Since he was out in the sheep fields as a shepherd for his father Jesse, he has been in the classroom of the king. He might not realize what he was going through and what he was being trained and what he was being prepared for, But he was being trained and prepared for a task. And it was not just only facing Goliath. There's some mighty tests coming in David's path in the coming days. And God is preparing him for those. Just as he prepares us for all the tests that are coming in our lives, we go through tests daily in our lives. We must get the victory through those tests that God gives us by faith. If we don't, the test is coming again and again and again, and in my case, again and again and again. I'm a little stubborn sometimes, a little hard-headed, and I don't get the idea. Okay, Lord, I'm supposed to trust you for this. I'm supposed to trust you for the victory. As we sung our memory verse, we're to wait on the Lord. We are to renew our strength in the Lord. That's tough. It's tough to do, especially in our world today. But that's what He wants us to do as His children. So in this classroom that David has been in, the Lord has been preparing him for circumstances, for tests throughout his life. And as we saw, he faced loneliness in the sheep fields. There was no one else there but him and those sheep fields and the sheep. He faced loneliness. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be alone. I like to have people around me. There are times when I like to get alone with God, but I don't like to be alone in a hotel room when I'm traveling. That's just not where I like to be. But David faced loneliness out in the sheep fields. That took great faith. He faced the weather and the elements there tending the sheep. Can you imagine the lightning storms that he saw coming across the plains there and outside of Bethlehem? And the coldness in the night? He faced the elements. He withstood the enemies that wanted his sheep, the bear and the lion, which he told us in chapter 17 that he slew. He accepted without question the anointing of Samuel the prophet as the next king of Israel when he was just a young teenager. You think that took faith? In front of his seven older brothers, in front of his father, he has anointed the next king of Israel. Now he's going to have to wait a number of years before he becomes king, but it takes faith to live with those knowledge. He accepted and obeyed his father and his king to play the harp before the king to soothe his troubled mind. Imagine leaving his home and his countryside, his sheep, to go to the palace and play for a troubled king. He did that with faith. He accepted the role of the king's armor bearer, and we looked at that previously. It's not a light role to be taken, but it was another step in his life. God has been preparing him. He also faced the ridicule of his eldest brother on the battlefield. It didn't deter him in his faith. He stood up to the king of Israel when the king said, "You're not big enough, you're not old enough, you're not a man of war, you cannot go and take this challenge of Goliath." Here is the king of the land saying, "You can't do it." And still, David steps forward and says, "I will go." That takes faith. And he couldn't just do it the day he was anointed king by Samuel. He couldn't just go on take the challenge of Goliath when he's out in the sheep fields with his sheep as a 12-year-old boy. It's progressive. It builds upon one another. Your faith should be building as you grow in your Christian life. So God is preparing him. He has faced the giant that has defiled his army and his land and his king and his God. That took faith. All of these obstacles, challenges, tests have strengthened this shepherd boy's faith from Bethlehem. He has overcome them by placing his trust in the Lord and seeking the Lord's strength. These tests, we Christians all have them. If you don't realize it, you're going through tests even today. Daily, monthly, yearly, you go through tests. Let's look at the scriptures in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 55. And when Saul, this is right after the victory of David over Goliath, and right after the Philistines have been defeated by the Israelite army. In verse 55 of 1 Samuel 17, the Word of God says, "And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, He said unto Abner, the captain of the host, and Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Can you picture him? He's under 20 years old. He's standing before the king of Israel. He's a little bloody from the battle. He's probably all sweaty. And here he is just beaming, holding the head of Goliath by the hair. He's got his trophy. And it's not his trophy, it's God's trophy. And where is he bringing it? He's bringing it back to the king. He says, and, you know, it's sort of a rebuke, really. It's like, king, you should have been the one holding his head. But here it is, king. Here's what I did for you, for my country, for my people, for my God. Because we saw back in the latter parts of 1 Samuel 17 where he says, I'm going to do this so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's found in verse 46. But look how David responds to Saul in verse 58. And Saul said to him, King of Israel, whose son art thou, thou young man? Now, a lot of people are going to say, oh, there's a contradiction here. What's going on? He's already been in Saul's presence before. He's already been his armor bearer, and he's already been the boy playing the harp for Saul in chapter 16. Why doesn't he know who he is? Well, there's been some years passed by. Young boys grow up pretty quickly. They change a little bit. They get taller. They grow some facial hair. He's been back out in the sheep fields. But also Saul is troubled. He has a troubled mind. And he can't really remember things. He can't really understand things because the Lord is chastising him because he has left him. But also, maybe he doesn't want to recognize David. Maybe he's a little embarrassed. But also, he wants to know how David is going to respond. It's nothing about David here. It's about his father. And remember who David is a type of? He's a type of Jesus Christ. And what did Christ always come to do? The will of his Father. He's always pointing people back to his Father. Look at verse 58. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. He doesn't promote himself. Here is a great opportunity. I'm holding the head of Goliath. Here I am holding the sword of Goliath. Here I am before the king of Israel. And he's asking, who are you? Whose son are you? He doesn't do anything to build himself up. That's our Lord. He doesn't build himself up. He points people to God. He points people to the Lord, to God the Father. And that's what David does. He says, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Let's continue reading and see what comes next. In chapter 18 it says, And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We have someone new introduced to us here in chapter 18 and verse 1. And Jonathan is the son of Saul. And he's not only the son of Saul, he is the eldest son of Saul, which makes him the heir to the throne of Israel. Because in those days, it just passed on to the oldest son. There was no elections, there were no voting. It was passed on, and voting's Tuesday. Voting's Tuesday. If you didn't vote yesterday, voting's Tuesday. But there was no vote here. It passed on to the next eldest son. Jonathan was the next king of Israel. He had a lot to lose by David coming on the scene. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. If you cannot see through these few chapters the unseen hand of God, you need to go back and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate it to you as you read it slowly. Because God's hand is all through this portion of Scripture. He has been directing David's path from the very beginning. We don't know what's before us. We don't know the future for our lives, and I don't want to know the future for my lives. It probably scare me to death because I don't have the faith that requires to take four steps ahead. I only have the faith to take one step ahead. But God knows the future for all of us. He knows what every one of us is going to face tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next month and the next year and the next 10 years. He knows who's going to go home to glory in the next short time period. And He knows who's going to have sickness in their lives and in their homes. He knows who's going to have a death in their home. He knows who's going to face a financial crisis in their home. He is building up your faith for the steps to come later in your life. He can't just give you the faith and say, okay, I know that you're going to face this huge obstacle in the coming months, so I'm going to build your faith up for that. No, He's doing it for a step and a step and a step, increasing your faith. And if you pass that test that He puts in front of your life, your faith is now increased for the next step and the next step. We don't know if the Lord is going to call someone to a new place of service. That takes faith. We have a bus up here that we need a bus captain for. That takes faith. God is probably working on somebody's heart because our pastor mentions it often. We had two bus children saved just recently that I just found about last week. That was a blessing to my heart. If no one had driven that bus, and those children had not gotten picked up, would they have gotten saved? How many children are we missing by that bus just sitting there? It takes faith. The Lord was preparing David. He was increasing his faith. He placed his trust in the Lord. He was learning where his strength came from. But these tests increased steadily in the amount of faith it requires to pass that test. I can't tell you how many tests I've been through in my life. And I can honestly tell you that I have not passed them all the first time. And if you would be honest, you have not either. Because we try to trust in our own strength. We try to trust in our own ability. Where God is trying to teach us, place your faith in me. Place your trust in me. And I will help you take the next step. When we trust in the unseen hand of God, He will provide direction. He will. Now it's our ability to see it. Look with me in verse 2. And Saul took him that day, David, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. He doesn't take Abner's place, but he's pretty close. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. When we trust in the unseen hand of God, He is going to provide direction. An expression of our faith will lead us into an area outside of our comfort zone because He's trying to build our faith. He's trying to build inside of us a reliance on Him. Had David ever lived permanently in the palace? No. He was comfortable in the sheep fields. He was comfortable in Bethlehem. He was comfortable in his father's house. But David's display of courage and bravery through his faith led David to be a permanent resident of the palace. No longer a part-time musician No longer an armor bearer, but as a prince, as heir to the throne, not just by the anointing of Samuel, but now by a marriage that's getting ready to happen. Can you see God's hand? David's like, well, I know I've been anointed king. I've got to get in the palace somehow. He doesn't try to do this on his own. He places it back to God and says, however you're going to work it out, Lord, I know you're going to provide direction. And he just goes on with his life. And we saw how he went to the palace and he came back and took care of his father's sheep. And he went to the palace and he came back and took care of his father's sheep. He was trusting God. And now God has worked it out, so now David is a resident permanently in the palace and getting ready to marry the daughter of the king, and is now going to become a royal. Now Jonathan's in the way. Jonathan is the heir to the throne. And look how God works that. Jonathan says in verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Verse 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle, or it's a sash that holds his weaponry. 5, and David went out whithersoever, and Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. When you trust the unseen hand of God, he not only provides direction, he provides a true companion. I could not get through my life without my wife. I could not do it. She is my best friend. She is my loyal companion that God has given me. And before I got saved, I asked the Lord for someone just like her in my life, which led to my salvation. He prepared a true companion. David is going to need a true companion in the next few days. Saul is going to try to kill David, as we see if we don't run out of time here this morning. We're going to see Saul is trying to kill David. And pretty soon in the next chapter, David is going to start fleeing from his life from his Jonathan's father. And who is his dearest friend? The heir to the throne, who takes off his garment, takes off his sword, takes off his bow and his arrows and his girdle and his sash, and he gives it to David and says, I relinquish, I abstain, I don't want the throne. It's yours, David. Can you see the unseen hand of God there? He has moved into the palace. He has been brought into the royal family he's getting ready to by marriage. He has arrived at the palace by none of his doing. But he can't be the next king of Israel in man's eyes because Jonathan is the next king of Israel. Well, Jonathan says, I don't want it. It's David's. You know, David didn't fight Goliath for the rewards. You know, there was a substantial reward Saul was offering to anybody that would step up and defeat Goliath. Your father's home will be tax-free forever. You're going to be marry my daughter and be in the royal family. I'm going to lavish you with such riches, you can't stand it. That's not why David stepped up. He stepped up because he was trusting God that this Philistine was defying his God. Because of the devotion of David to his God and the humbleness of his heart, the Lord provided David with a dear friend, Jonathan. To place a value on God's provision to David with a friend in the palace is insurmountable. Jonathan was the heir to the throne. He was Saul's eldest son. Jonathan saw the humbleness of David before his father. Nothing of David brought up, but just humble heart. And Jonathan witnessed and heard of the challenge and the defeat of Goliath. Jonathan loves David as his own soul. Jonathan's friendship will be a true blessing to David in the coming days. Jonathan died to self. Jonathan relinquished his own desires and his own plans and his own goals of the throne and promotes David in his place. He's a type. Jonathan's a type of the believer. If we have the unseen hand upon us of God, we are to be promoting Christ and dying to self. It should be nothing of us. We could go back to Paul and see where he says, it's nothing of me. I am nothing. I count all that I've done as dung. It's all of Christ. What's the value of a friend? Are you trying to get friends because of the benefits they bring to you? Or are you dying to self and say, I need a true friend? We could go many places here in the Scriptures. But Jesus speaks often of friends. Look back at what Jesus said about friendship. Do a study on what Jesus said about friendship. My, how he speaks of friends. We need friends. But also, as we trust in the unseen hand of God, he will protect us against opposition. Chapter 18 and verse 6. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the woman answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, with the harp, you know, he played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Once would have been enough for me. I would have said, no, I'm packing my harp up. No. Twice David avoided out of his presence. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. By no fault of David, except for living and serving for his Lord, did the opposition come. He stepped out by faith and trusted his Lord for protection and guidance and strength. Protection from the elements, protection from the animals, protection from the disease of the sheep, protection from injury or falling in the sheep fields or tripping in a hole. Guidance and patience after he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. He said, I'm not going to try to plan this. I'm going to allow the Lord to do it. It took 15 years before David took the throne. Not my timing, but God's timing. Strength from the Lord to overcome Goliath. He also became a national hero after defeating Goliath and leading the army of Israel against the Philistines. But he did not swell up with pride. He did not boast of himself or his accomplishments. When the women sang before him of his victories, it was nothing of David. How many of us could do the same thing? Oh, they're singing to me. They're singing about me. Saul's jealousy begins with the singing of the women. Saul did not stand up for his people. Saul did not stand up for his nation. Saul did not stand up for his God when Goliath was defiling it. He is no longer God's anointed. God has removed his hand from Saul's life. He is not the choice to be king any longer. Saul was again troubled in mind, and David plays for him. on his harp. And twice, Saul tries to kill David with a javelin. If you'll notice here, it's interesting, that in verse 10, David had a harp in his hand, and his aim was to serve his king. Saul had a javelin in his hand, and his aim was to slay David. What a contrast. What a comparison these two men are. And not only if we trust in the unseen hand of God will He give us direction, provide us direction. Not only will He protect us and provide for us. Not only will He be there always, but He will continue in a progression of the prominence of His appearance or revelation of Himself to others through you. Because what you're doing is you're living the faith life. And if you're living the faith life and you have progressed step after step after step, you are progressing in your faith as a Christian, others are going to see it in your life. It's going to be prominent in your life. It's going to be very evident. That was the word I was looking for. It's going to be very evident in your life that God is with you. Look what it says through the Scriptures in verse 5b. It says at the latter part of the verse, it says, He was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Look at verse 6, and it says, And it came to pass as they came when David was turned from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women came out of the cities and they cried and sang of his 10,000s that David had sung that had killed. Look at verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Look at verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him a captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. This is a shepherd boy from Bethlehem. How can he behave himself so wisely before all the people and be in the court of the palace and to be now a leader of 1,000 over King Saul's private guard? How can he behave himself so wisely? Because he's passed those tests one upon another and grown in faith by God. God has been preparing him since he was a small lad. And as he's prepared him, he's given him tests to increase his faith for the next test that's coming and the next one that's coming. He's doing the same thing in our lives. Others will be aware and cognizant that the Lord is with us if we're living for Him. Are you a child of God? Have you placed your trust in Him? If you haven't, let us know. We'll help you. There's no greater decision that you can make in your life than trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. And once you start that journey, the tests begin to live a faith life. When you place your trust in God and begin to live by faith, then the unseen hand of God will direct you. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. And He'll continue to make His presence known in your life. Look back at your life, and I guarantee if you look back at your life as a Christian, you will find at least a few instances where the unseen hand of God has been there and will continue to be there in the future. We won't know all the circumstances until we get to heaven of what He protected us from. Those prayers that we asked that we didn't get answered, He was protecting us. Those car rides into church that we pray before we get behind the wheel of the car, we don't know what He has protected us from, but He has. What is that God wants you to do? The test you're going through right now, place your trust in the Lord and stop trying to get through it in your own strength. There is an old hymn. I love this hymn. It's not in many hymn books today, but it's a great hymn. And I'm not a singer. I'm not going to try to sing it. But it goes like this. There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads where'er I go. I'm holding to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll take my stand, still holding to the unseen hand. His hand has led me through shadows drear, and while it leads, I have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin nor sorrow e'er can come. I'm holding to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll take my stand, still holding to the unseen hand. I long to see my Savior's face and tell the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm holding to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll take my stand, still holding to the unseen hand. I'm holding to the unseen hand. Are you? He'll help you get through this test. He will help you increase your faith. Because there is a test coming in your life where you need that faith. Look back at David's life. Look what he endured. Look what he went through. He could not do that while he was a shepherd outside of the city of Bethlehem, tending the sheep of his father. His faith increased. His God was with him, and he trusted him, and he trusted the unseen hand. We need to do the same. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this lesson. We have just barely touched the surface of what you've done right here for David. We haven't even touched on friendship and what Jonathan meant to David. We haven't touched on how you have so protected David just here in these days. We haven't even really touched really on what you have prepared David for just in this circumstance, not to mention what's getting ready to happen. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to understand the test you're seeing, bringing us through. Help us to pass those with flying colors by trusting in you and your strength alone. Take our hands off of our lives and give them to you that you might direct them. Help us to trust in the unseen hand. Thank you so much for loving us, for saving us, for wanting to be with us, for wanting to have us as a friend, to be called a friend of God. We love you, Lord. I pray that you bless the next service. Help us, Lord, to please you in our lives. In Christ's name.